Today's Washing Tech episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at washingtech.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And also Warby Parker. Get a free 5-day home try-on at warbyparkertrial.com/joe. 5 pairs, 5 days, and the try-on is 100% free. That's warbyparkertrial.com/joe.
We need to constantly be reevaluating how are we thinking about things? What are we doing to unravel systems of oppression or unfairness? Constantly looking at yourself and thinking of how you can do better.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you. Wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time. From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
DOJ indicts another 7 intelligence officers in Russia for alleged cyber attacks. Google Plus exposes up to 500,000 of its users' data. And Sean Perryman is my guest. Department of Justice indicted 7 Russian intelligence officers on Thursday on charges that they conspired to conduct malicious cyber attacks against the U.S., Canada, and Europe. Morgan Chalfont reports in The Hill that on the same day, the U.K. and the Netherlands announced that they had thwarted a Russian-led cyber attack against The Hague's Global Chemical Weapons Watchdog. The indicted officials allegedly work for Russian military intelligence agency GRU. FBI Special Counsel Robert Mueller indicted 12 GRU officials earlier this year for their alleged role in hacking the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Google announced that as many as 500,000 of its users may have had their personal data exposed from a breach in its unpopular social media platform, Google Plus. The company announced that it discovered the bug back in March, but that there's no evidence that anyone exploited it. The company also announced that it will be shuttering Google Plus by August of next year. Joel Kaplan, Facebook's vice president for global public policy, is under internal fire at Facebook for supporting Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. Kaplan sat directly behind Kavanaugh at the hearing, then threw a party for him to celebrate his confirmation, which reports say Kavanaugh and his wife attended. Kaplan and his wife hosted the party despite apologizing in a note to Facebook staff in which Kaplan said he recognizes that this moment is a painful one. Kaplan, however, as a private supporter and personal friend of Kavanaugh's, did not break any company rules, according to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. A Fitbit device has led to the arrest of a 90-year-old San Jose man for allegedly murdering his 67-year-old stepdaughter after dropping off homemade pizza and biscotti, according to the police. The police tied the suspect to the victim's heart rate, which, according to her Fitbit device, surged and then rapidly declined while the suspect was still in the house. This was corroborated by surveillance footage, also synced up to internet time, that allegedly shows that his car was still parked outside, thus placing him in the house when the victim expired. Amazon has announced a $15 minimum wage for all of its 250,000 employees, engendering the support of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Amazon also announced that it will begin lobbying Congress to raise the national minimum wage. Target's minimum hourly wage stands at $12, while Walmart's stands at $11. House Energy and Commerce Committee ranking member Frank Pallone sent several questions to the CEOs of Alphabet, Facebook, and Twitter to determine the extent to which Russian trolls impacted debate on the Kavanaugh hearing in ways that resembled Russian interference with the 2016 presidential election. U.S. officials believe that Russians have continued their hacking operations against the U.S. Pallone noted that one Facebook group that was vocal about supporting Kavanaugh also advocated for boycotting Nike and Colin Kaepernick. Ali Breland has the report in The Hill. Finally, the Trump administration has decided to relax restrictions on driverless trucks, shifting the onus for safety away from the federal government to companies who develop driverless technologies. But Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao says that the administration continues to be concerned about the effects that driverless vehicles will have on the workforce. And you can find links to all of these stories in the show notes and also in our Twitter feed. And our handle is at Washing Tech. Stay with us.
For watching Tech Policy Podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can listen at the gym, in the car, or on your morning run. How about Stamped from the Beginning, the definitive history of racist ideas in America by Ibram X. Kendi? You can download Stamped from the Beginning free by trying audible.com. Sign up for your free audiobook and 30-day trial today at washingtech.com/book.
You're plugged into the Washing Tech Policy Podcast, the inclusive voice of tech policy.
My guest today is Sean Perryman. He's the Director of Diversity and Inclusion Policy and Counsel at the Internet Association. He's responsible for leading IA's advocacy efforts around diversity, inclusion, and workforce-related policies at the local, state, and federal levels. Prior to joining IA, Sean served as counsel on the House Oversight Committee Democratic staff, where he advised on technology policy, including AI, cybersecurity, and privacy issues. Before working on the Oversight Committee, Sean practiced civil litigation both in Texas and D.C. Sean is passionate about issues of equity and inclusion, and he currently serves as education chair for the Fairfax County NAACP. A Brooklyn, New York native, Sean earned his B.A. from the City University of New York, Baruch, and received his J.D. from Vanderbilt. Please welcome Sean Perryman. Sean, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I really appreciate it.
So tell us about the Internet Association and its mission for those who aren't already aware of its great work.
Yeah, the Internet Association is a trade association. We represent over 45 of the leading Internet companies around the world in matters of public policy. So we really advocate for public policy to have an open Internet, to foster innovation, promote economic growth as far as internet companies are concerned.
And so what would you say are sort of the top three issues that you're focused on right now?
Yeah, for the association, I would say the three priorities are data privacy, CDA 230.
And that's the Communications Decency Act.
Exactly. And it explicitly protects against liability for content posted by third-party users. And the shared economy. That's really what the association is looking at, especially with data privacy. We're pushing for a national privacy standard that would protect consumer data and kind of replace the patchwork framework that we have going on from state to state. For me personally, my portfolio really consists of anything that would touch diversity and inclusion at our member companies. And that's obviously we have a D&I section, which is looking at best practices, looking at how we can get our companies to collaborate together. We also look at AI and algorithms, which some people find surprising, but the big issue there is the idea of bias, whether it be against age, gender, race, in algorithms and in artificial intelligence. And so we look at that from a policy perspective. And then finally, immigration. Immigration policy, the type of workforce we need comes from all over the world. It's people of all sorts of talents and skills contribute to this workforce. So immigration is a big piece of that.
And as far as immigration is concerned, I mean, we hear a lot about the 403 visas and getting highly skilled workers to come to the U.S. There's another issue about their spouses. Tell us about that.
Yes, absolutely. So for our companies, one of the big visa issues for us is the H-4 visa. The H-4 visa is for the spouses of people working in the United States. And that's currently the belief, at least, is that it will be a notice and comment period where they try to revoke the H-4 visa that allows spouses to work here. And it's critical for a lot of different reasons, because it's cruel to say that, hey, you can come here, but you can't bring your spouse or family. But then it also makes us less competitive. I mean, countries like Australia and Canada have the equivalent of this visa, where if you're a high-skilled immigrant worker and you want to work in those countries, of course you can bring your spouse. So this is something that, just as a matter of morality, as a matter of business, it's just bad to get rid of these visas. So this is something that's high on our priorities for immigration visas. Most people think of the H-1B visa, but the H-4 is really something that's under threat under this administration.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to the other issue that policymakers traditionally treat as sort of separate from public policy. As you know, Sean, is diversity and inclusion. We've been seeing firms in Silicon Valley release diversity data year after year, but sort of with very little movement in terms of increasing the ranks of African Americans, Latinos, underrepresented Asians, Native Americans, and women, even in terms of promoting Asians who are well represented into leadership roles. So tell us first about the disparities you're seeing there, and then give us a sense for what the Internet Association is doing to address some of those issues from here in Washington.
Yeah, in the industry generally, we see some disparities that have been longstanding among women and people of color, specifically Black people within the industry. They just really haven't been able to move the numbers. I would say, however, though, that there has been some successes. We look at Lyft. Over the last year, they just released their numbers. They were able to increase the percentage of Black and Latinx workers by 50% while doubling the size of their company and their workforce. Pinterest has also had a lot of success. So we see these success stories, but we still see the overall disparities. Where IA, the Internet Association, is coming in is to get our member companies to collaborate. Often these companies are naturally competitive in this economy, but we see places where we can facilitate partnerships between our companies, policymakers, HBCUs to all address this issue. And like you said, you know, traditionally policymakers don't look at diversity and inclusion as a policy issue, which is ironic to me because when we look at, you know, from the state, local, and federal level, we see so many exclusionary policies, so many policies that have such negative impact on communities of color. So if we really want to get serious about rectifying that, we really have to look at being more inclusive, look at this as a policy issue and how we can all do better in this arena.
And so what are some ways that you think people can engage more on policy? Are there working groups that you know of, lists that people can join? I know that on, you know, sort of the telecom side, a lot of the companies bring in advocacy organizations for policy briefings on antitrust, product launches, e-commerce, things like that, not just diversity and inclusion. What are some of your ideas and how is the Internet Association working to give more people of color a seat at the table when these broader policy issues are being discussed?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are working with, I mean, some of the traditional organizations that you already think of when you think of communities of color and policy and rights, like National Urban League. We're also working with policymakers and some new caucuses like the HBCU Caucus. And Full Color Future is another organization that's doing some great work in this space. They recently put out a paper, and I believe you were one of the authors of that.
I was.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of organizations out there doing great work in this space. And then also Google has a next gen group. You know, we are looking for ways that we can partner and get people's voices out there that are not traditionally looked to when it comes to tech.
So Sean, it's been great having you on. The Internet Association is fortunate to have you. Now let's turn to your icebreaker, your career hack, and your pick for our book this week.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, so it's time for this week's icebreaker. The rules are simple. I spin the wheel. It gives us a random question. I ask it and you answer. Sound good?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, this one's easy. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, you say it's easy, but it's hard for me. I'll give one that I've watched recently, and it was actually nominated as a TV movie, strangely enough. But it's an episode of Black Mirror, and it's called San Junipero. It's a really cool movie that deals with some future technology. I won't give too much away, but also just a great storyline and terrific cast. So I'll say San Junipero from the Black Mirror series on Netflix.
Yeah, that one's interesting. It's about aging.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting look at technology and aging and all of it. Yeah.
So give us a career hack, Sean, something you do to get stuff done that's been a best kept secret until now in terms of advancing in your career.
Well, I think as far as getting stuff done, I'm a big list doer. Like I have the priority list, I have the secondary list, and I just write out everything and kind of check through it. That's one way I get things done. But as far as like a career hack of like, I believe in framing things. And I say you could either be a short order cook or a master chef. So every project I approach like that, how can I anticipate what someone will want make it more palatable to them. That's really my mindset when I go into a project.
Tell us about a book you're reading these days.
So right now I'm reading Stamped from the Beginning. It's a really interesting book, and it's called Stamped from the Beginning, the Definitive History of Racism. I think that's the full title of it, but it's by Dr. Ibram Kendi. And it's, it's dense, and I've been going through it for a while, but it goes through all these different historical figures and talks about anti-racism and how even people like W.E. Du Bois, who we would think is anti-racist, they internalize these sort of racist messages. And it flips a lot of narratives on its head. So I've really enjoyed that.
I'm going to check that out. Well, thanks, Sean, for joining me. Final ideas for us?
Yeah, I would say final ideas, always be introspective. Whether we're doing policy work, whether we're, just doing racial justice work, whatever it is, I think we need to constantly be reevaluating. How are we thinking about things? What are we doing to unravel systems of oppression or unfairness? Constantly looking at yourself and thinking of how you can do better. That's something that I've started to do more lately, and I recommend for others.
Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Sean Perryman. That's S-E-A-N, Perryman. Or you can find me on Twitter at Sean Perryman. That's S-E-A-N-P-E-R-R-Y-M-A-N-3. So Sean Perryman 3 on Twitter.
And you've been listening to Sean Perryman. That's S-E-A-N, the right way. Director of Diversity.
The correct way.
Right, the correct way. Director of Diversity, Inclusion, and Counsel at the Internet Association. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Joe. It's been great. I really appreciate it.
That concludes episode 157. Thanks for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.